Karen Brennan was in Mexico when she got the phone call every parent dreads. There'd been an accident. Her daughter Rachel was in a coma. She had to come to the hospital in Denver right away. It took Rachel several months to wake up. 7 years later, she's still recovering. She has no memory of the accident. In fact, she has no short-term memory at all. Karen Brennan tells the story in her book, Being with Rachel. The Brennans' mother and daughter talked with Steve Paulson. Karen remembered what Rachel was like before her accident.
Before the accident, she was an athlete, for one thing. She ran for University of Arizona, and she ran in the NCAAs, and that was really very central to her life. And after the accident, because of the physical handicap that she is, as she said, paralyzed on one side of her body, though she walks with a cane, she's not able to run anymore. So she no longer is an athlete. She was very independent, and she was a world traveler. She was constantly taking off and going to, I don't know how, some fool issued her a gold card when she was had just gotten out of college. And she would announce that she was going off to Italy or Germany. And in retrospect, I'm delighted that she did all this, you know. And I'm delighted that I didn't make a big fuss about it, because I don't know when she'll get a chance to do that again. But before, she was just a tough jock girl who jet-setted around the country on a Visa gold card that she had trouble paying off.
Rachel, do you have clear memories of what your life had been like before the accident, what your mother was just describing?
Yeah. I remember, all my running career. I do remember all that kind of thing. Yeah, the thing is that I have trouble remembering short-term memory. So, like, what I ate for breakfast this a.m., ooh, I don't know.
Rachel, do you feel like you're a different person now? I mean, obviously, you do different kinds of things now. Your activities are different and your memory is different. But do you feel like your actual personality has changed?
In a way, yes. Yeah, I do think it has. It's definitely taught me compassion.
Karen, how would you describe?
I don't think she's as tough. She used to be sort of tough. And I think she doesn't have the same edge that she used to have. But at the same time, she seems, I mean, I like her use of, her sense of herself as more compassionate, because I actually think that's true. I think she's more philosophical now than she had been before. She was always on the move before, and now she's sort of more thoughtful and more philosophical and more patient.
Do you think something has actually changed in the brain to cause this kind of personality change?
Well, you know, they talk about personality change with brain injury all the time, and I guess it's a notion that I resist. One of the first things I read when Rachel was in the hospital was that the family has to accept that the old person will die and a new person will come to take the old person's place. And I do sort of resist that. You know, we all change. And I think that the focus on the brain-injured person changing sort of leaves out of the thinking that we all change, that we're bound to evolve from day to day and year to year, especially if something happens to us. But I don't think she's a brand new person. I don't think that the old person has died and there's a new person there. I can see Rachel's spirit. I can see her spirituality. I can see her approach and sensibility to the world. Her irony is certainly very much intact.
Well, there's an interesting philosophical question here, and that's about the nature of the self. And
absolutely.
I guess how much it's rooted in a particular part of the brain, and if there is a brain injury, does that self fundamentally change in some way?
Well, I think that's true, and I think that was very hard for Rach for a while, because I think with the memory problem, she would kind of search around in her brain for that old self and that old way of remembering. And, you know, and I could only imagine this, of course, but I imagine she would, you know, come up empty, you know. It's sort of like being cast out into space.
Rachel, I would think it would be incredibly hard just to go through life every day if you can't hang on to certain memories. If it's really hard to remember what you did in the morning or last week or something like that, and
yeah,
just talking with other people and wondering, did you already talk about that, or are you repeating yourself?
Interestingly enough, I don't obsess about those kinds of things. And understand that I'm 30 years old and I still live with mommy. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, when are you going to move out?
Karen, do you find yourself, in a sense, serving as Rachel's memory? Are you the one who constructs that story of her life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially, I'm doing a little less of it now because I'm really trying to get Rachel to, for example, keep a journal, you know, so that she has some kind of narrative to rely on from day to day. So the story of herself can move forward. But I've been her. I am still her memory, actually. And she has recently moved out. I mean, there was an example of her short-term memory loss when she said she still lived with me, because in fact, she doesn't still live with me. She's recently moved into something called transitional housing. And I still, you know, have to, you know, be her memory and call her up and remind her of appointments that she has, and she still forgets them, and it's very, very difficult for her. You know, she'll miss the handicapped bus will be coming to pick her up, and I'll call her 15 minutes beforehand, and by the time they get there, she will have disappeared. She just doesn't remember.
Well, Karen, let me turn this question back on to you, because we've been focusing on Rachel and sort of whether she's essentially the same person as she was before the accident. What about you?
Am I the same person?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I'm completely different.
How so? How are you different?
This is going to sound sort of vague and corny, but I think I'm spiritually different. I think I have a sort of larger view of the world than I did before. I wanted before to sort of see things in a larger way, and now I think I kind of do. I see Rachel's accident as being, you know, everybody has things in their lives that happen. And, you know, Rachel's accident has been her thing, and it's also been my thing. I honestly believe that, you know, tomorrow I would jump off a cliff if I thought it would save Rachel's and restore her completely to who she was. But at the same time, being as that's not going to happen if I jump off a cliff or if I don't jump off a cliff, I find that, you know, this time with Rachel and this time together that we've had in recovering, though it's been painful and hard, has also been, you know, it's improved our characters, you know. It's given us a bigger view of the world. It's made us more compassionate toward other people who are going through similar stuff. So, you know, how can you not be grateful for that?
Karen Brennan's book is Being with Rachel, A Story of Memory and Survival. And she has one more thing to tell you.
I was told in the hospital that Rachel had made all the recovery she was going to make when she was 6 months post-injury. And she is now 7 years post-injury, and she continues to make recovery. And I think that's really important to know.
The last word on this subject belongs to Rachel. Her advice for other brain-injured people?
Keep on truckin'.